A very good morning to you all, dear brethren around the world. Greetings of peace and joy to all in the name of our Almighty God and our returned and reigning King, Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to share love and greetings of many brethren from India. I thank our Lord for giving me the opportunity to serve his flock and also the convention committee for giving me an opportunity to serve the brethren. Today, our study is based on the topic Social Friction Nearing Combustion. This is based on the writing of our beloved brother Charles Taze Russell's fourth volume, The Battle of Armageddon, seventh chapter titled The Nations Assembled and the Preparation of the Elements for the Great Fire of God's Indignation. By God's grace, we would see how the things related before would suit the conditions today. I would like to present this as my humble suggestion before all the saints to ponder upon. Dear brethren, we have just heard brethren from Romania speak on the topic Social Elements in Preparation for Fire. We will see how these forces are causing friction among the society, leading to its combustion and destruction by fire. To see which are the forces that influence this friction, we are going to study the following 6 points. Point number one, the causes for the friction. Point number two, how discontent and hatred and friction is breeding rapidly. Point number three, how knowledge combined with liberty is breeding selfishness. Point number four, why recent favorable conditions cannot continue. Point number five, the influence of the law of supply and demand. The last point, point number six, proposed suggestions, is it worth? Now let us see. The first point, the causes for friction. The day of the Lord is called as great day, in which the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. In Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 18 and in book of Isaiah chapter 30 verse 27, it tells, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. again in book of Isaiah chapter 66 verse 15 and verse 16. It tells, for behold, the Lord will come with fire to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his word will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. These verses clearly show that the current system will be consumed by fire, which we all know is not a literal fire, but the fire that ignites friction, passion between the two classes of people. The Lord in his days uses the difference of opinion, views, clashes, and debates between two groups to ignite anger between them, and thus use it in either group's destruction. And thus, the collapse of the present corrupt social system. The one who ignites this fire is the Lord. This is not to say that the Lord is the author of friction. The Lord would never cause friction. But he would use the natural differences between them to spark passion and friction in order to carry out his beautiful plan. For example, the differences and hatred between Joseph's brothers were used by the Lord to ignite their passions into selling him as a slave to Egypt. God used their friction for good in fulfilling his plan, in which Joseph later became the prince of Egypt. Similarly, the friction the Lord is using in this day is the friction between the rich and the poor, which is being caused by the widening of the gap between the rich and the poor. How is this gap widening? The increase in income tax collection year on year during the budget, the slab remains the same, while expenditure exceeds the income. This is done with a motive to squeeze as much as possible from the public. The maximum number of income tax returns filed in 2019 was somewhere around 4.9 million. But by July 2022, it had surpassed 5.13 billion. indicating that the rate of income tax returns filing has increased dramatically. How did the government accomplish this? By restricting the amount of cash transaction to below $600. Any transaction above $600, PAN number is made mandatory so that it would be easy to track the transactions. Freezing of high value transaction accounts until the source of fund is disclosed. All bank accounts are compulsorily linked to other, and it is mandatory to have KYC updated every year, or else those accounts will be frozen. Conducting an income tax raid on high profile candidates, thus causing fear among the common people, the public, thus bringing them to a mode of disclosing their assets voluntarily and filing the source of income. This is bringing all the hidden super rich people to light, and the number of prosperous ones who are hoarding riches is day by day increasing. Seeing the rich people getting richer, the poor man's eyes are pricking. They think it is injustice that they, even after so much of hard work, are not able to get even 1% of what the rich have. And an expression of a frustration is discouraged and treated as an anti-socialist. For example, Mr. Rahul Gandhi expressed his view on democracy under attack. In his speech at Oxford University, where he expressed how the media, journalists, and judiciary system have been attacked. Attacks on minority groups, the poor's rights are not respected. Farmers' cries are falling on deaf ears. The price of basic commodity like oil has doubled, more than $2.12 per liter. Cooking gas has doubled to more than 200%. But there has been no corresponding increase in salary. Because of these objections, he was treated as an anti-nationalist, and an arrest warrant was issued for defying the PM and barred from entering the parliament. The BBC channel aired a documentary recently on the ex-CM's role in Gujarat riots, which was widely screened in universities and other venues. This was prohibited in India, and BBC was targeted by a tax raid on its office. Instead of giving liberty for free speech, the government is favoring big business magnates like Adani and Ambani. With favorable government policies, a fine example of this was displayed when the Rafael deal worth $300 million was awarded to Reliance Defense, a debt-ridden firm, instead to HAL, a government sector. To distract the people's attention from such topics, other topics like Pulwam attack, the G20 presidency, the construction and inaugurations of highways, railways, airports, and the installation of large statues costing millions of dollars are presented before the public. These are the elements that are causing friction. Now, dear brethren, this brings us to the second topic of our today's study. That is, how discontent, hatred, and friction is breeding rapidly. For example, the big fat Indian weddings, which are usually published in newspapers about their lavish lifestyle and pride and dignity. This is breeding anger, frustration, and hatred among the poor Indian parents who spend all their lifetime earnings just to get their children married. The worst is that in India, some people take loans. Parents keep on saving since their child is born. The nationalnews.com reports on some of the richest big fat weddings as below. Celebrations have begun for another Ambani wedding. 4 years after Isha Ambani's star-studded $84 million marriage in 2018, spread across three cities, with celebrations spread across Udaipur, Lake Como in Italy, and then at the Ambani home in Mumbai. The elaborate wedding included over 100 chartered flights and a private performance by Beyoncé. She is rumored to have been paid $15 million for just a 45-minute appearance, which featured a number of costume changes. Wedding invitations came in a gabbana box adorned with pink and gold lace and with a detachable chain that could be worn as jewelry. Meanwhile, the wedding bash in Udaipur, known for its palaces and all the celebrities in attendance, including Hillary Clinton, Google CEO Sundar Pichai, big industrialist like Lakshmi Mittal, and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. The week-long marriage had India obsessed and generated headlines around the world. Next, Anand Ambani, his youngest son, is getting married in a lavish ceremony that will last several days. The marriage of mining baron Janardhan Reddy's only daughter cost more than $60 million. The 5-day celebration held at Bangalore Palace culminated with a wedding ceremony attended by more than 50,000 guests, including top celebrities, politicians. Reddy spared no expenses for the marriage, which featured recreations of ancient Indian relics designed by Bollywood art directors, luxury bull drawn carts to transport guests, and a huge helium balloons bearing larger than life images of the family. 3,000 security guards were recruited for the celebration, and the bride's wedding sari alone cost more than $2 million. The gold-plated wedding invitation also cost a small fortune, and it featured a small LCD screen, a video of the couple, and a politician lip-syncing to an Indian song. The marriage of the daughter of steel magnate Lakshmi Mittal, held in Barcelona. The 3-day celebration had more than 500 guests and included a menu catered by Spanish celebrity chef Sergi Arola, around 200 butlers and cooks were flown into Spain from India and Thailand for the occasion. The main wedding ceremony was held at the National Museum of Catalan Art. Atop hill, helicopters were hired so that photographers and videographers could capture the festivities from all angles. This marriage entered the Guinness Book of World Records for the most expensive marriage ever taken place in world's history, costing more than $800 million. The shoes worn by some of the celebrities range more than $400,000. Some of the 60-year-old Scotch whiskey which they drink ranges up to $150 million a bottle, while the poor are denied basic drinking. The houses where they stay are palaces with more than 600 servants serving them around the clock for just a family of 10. According to a survey by Prince and Associates, rich people would love to lavish money on their pets, spend more than 3,328,000 dollars on their pets annually, and they spend more than $25,000 or more on a birthday party for a pet. More than 25% of pet owners have left money to their pets in their wills, which means that pets left behind will have adequate care and won't be dumped on the streets or sent to a shelter after the death of the owner. Where is the same love and concern for the poor? Dear brethren, the promising talks of Miss Universe and Miss World, like Priyanka Chopra, Sushmita Sen, Aishwarya Rai, during the beauty pageant, are contrary to what they are actually living today. Instead of helping the poor, they are selfishly hoarding the money. Queen Elizabeth, Buckingham Palace, and her expensive lifestyle, the poor are seeing this in contrast and are enraged, bitter and frustrated. Added to this is the welcoming and honoring of the rich by the churches and the religious organizations. Instead of rebuking them for not helping and being sympathetic on the poor. Dear brethren, all this is breeding discontent, hatred and friction rapidly. This is provoking the poor man who has controlled his emotions and subdued them in a desire to do the Lord's will. This can't be controlled further. They will erupt as a volcano shortly. This is much like condition in Sodom and Gomorrah. As told in Ezekiel chapter 16 verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister, Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. In all this, at least the Prime Minister should be an example in strengthening the hands of the poor and needy. Instead, he is busy erecting massive bronze statues worth millions of dollars, paying homage to them, getting specially customized suits with his personal name printed on it, building new parliament houses and increasing the salaries of his cabinet ministers. All this comes at the expense of people's money paid in tax. While there is no basic food, shelter or education for the common man, farmers have been protesting for the needs for over a year, lying naked on the streets in cold and rain, like rats on the road, while the Dalits are raped, murdered and burned. Just diverting as no one is listening to the cries. Suicides have become a common sight. Dear brethren, just diverting a small portion of the budget from the dumb statue to the needs of the poor would be a help in time of need. This is so sad because many laborers are sacrificed at a cost of many millions of dollars because the upper class men are willing to let these people die just to satisfy their vanity. Thus it will be in the day of the Lord. When he has come and is gathering his elect to himself, setting up his kingdom, whose inauguration will be followed by the dash of the present social system to pieces in a great time of trouble and anarchy, preparatory to the establishment of kingdom of righteousness, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be in the days of Son of Man, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the parousia of the Son of Man. So shall it be in the presence of the Son of Man. Thus, discontent, hatred, friction are growing rapidly, preparing both the rich and the poor for the great battle of Armageddon. Now let us see the third point. How knowledge combined with liberty is breeding selfishness. If all the wealth of this world were used for social reform, the whole world would witness a drastic change. In just a year, evil laws would be eliminated and the general interest of the public would be considered and guarded. Political ring stars may be powerless, but to expect this from the rich now is unreasonable. As they wish to be classified as good human beings and get praised, why cannot there be a change and an equalization of wealth and comfort? Because the world is now governed not by the royal law of love, but by the law of depravity and selfishness. Now, dear brethren, let us see how this knowledge is combined with liberty and breeding selfishness. Dear brethren, wherever the Bible went, there was liberty. For example, the people of Israel were liberty-loving people, not willing to stay subdued. Hence, the conquerors concluded that the only way to subjugate them was by destroying them as a nation. Similarly, when the Bible was in a dead language during the Dark Ages, the people were in ignorance and the selfish ones subjugated them. But with the revival of the Bible, the great reformation of liberty, knowledge and awakening among the people began. Hence, it is a fact that wherever the Bible has gone, freedom has gone. Hence, there has been more enlightenment and progress in every direction. With the Bible's influence of enlightenment and freedom, people are awakening to the facts. Thus, knowledge and liberty together constitute a mighty power that can be exerted for good or bad. This evil influence is far reaching and quickly preparing the elements for the day of vengeance. It is this combination of knowledge and freedom together that has elevated selfishness to the seat of power over love. And thus, selfishness is ruling the whole world, regardless of the rights and liberties of others. Hence, the rich capitalist look for ways to pay as little as possible for the laborers. And the laborers look out for themselves to get as much as possible for their service. Hence, both acknowledge the same principles of knowledge, freedom, and selfishness. This has become largely the public's view. The old custom of educated helping and assisting the poor has died out. Each is busy attending to their own personal problems and leaving others to the favors of hospitals, orphanages, old age homes. If love were the controlling factor, then everyone would be cared for others. But as selfishness is the controlling motive, it is bearing its bitter fruit. For the great vintage of the Lord, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 14, verses 19 to 20. This would happen only when the world is converted. This would be possible only in the Messiah's kingdom, only with the divine intervention. Now this is impossible because the rich won't give up their advantage willingly, and the poor also would not work out if it were not out of necessity, covetousness, or selfishness. Hence, this would take the entire 1,000 years to fully establish love, which is why the Lord has promised a time of restitution of all things. Point number 4. Why recent favorable conditions cannot continue? Why not continue the same conditions for a few more years, as it has happened for already 6,000 years? The result would be a great danger, because it would mean general illiteracy and lack of knowledge, and thus operation of the world order of things. We cannot so suppose, because observation and reflection has shown that such expectations would be unreasonable, indeed impossible, for several reasons. The prosperity of the present century has been under divine supervision, directly the result of mental awakening of the world. With printing, steam, electricity, and applied mechanics as agencies, in this age of great increase in knowledge, it would lead to revolution and strong protest. Dear brethren, now let us see the fifth point. The influence of law, of supply and demand in breeding friction. This awakening brought increased demand for necessities and luxuries. With the increase in demand came an increase in production, and hence wages also increased. Exports increased, as this required more machinery, raw materials, skilled engineers and laborers. There was a sudden demand for skilled laborers and all these people had jobs to work. With an increase in wages, they were able to purchase costly commodities, eat better food, wear better clothes, and live a better life. Skilled training was provided. Business trips were organized. And all expenses, including food and lodging, were borne by the companies. As many began to travel and they opted for quick travel, hence there was a demand for air travel. As demand increased, there was competition and rates were made affordable for the reach of all public. Thus, everyone and every branch of industry benefited. As demand increased, time-saving equipment and machinery were sought, which was a result of modern-day inventions. It became so that without these modern machines, it became difficult to sustain in the market. This kept going prosperously for the working class, as they were paid well, while the rich became super rich. However, as the wages increased, so did the price and necessity of life increased. However, when the wages fell, there was no corresponding decrease in the prices of basic commodities, and the people were not able to meet their expenses. Then came the great financial collapse. As we see today in Sri Lanka and Pakistan, where the country's treasurer is empty because of corrupt politicians and the common people are overburdened with tax in everything. During the crisis of a flood or earthquake, the government didn't have sufficient of funds to help the poor. Instead of planning how to restore their country, they were quite busy quarreling among themselves and seeking for help from world banks. To avoid this, now that we are at the end of the road, production is overtaking demand. The profit margin is shrinking. The investors who had pumped in huge amount had done so with a guarantee return. But as they began to lose profits and their share value in the market, they began to lay off many of the laborers. Many who were not able to pay loans ended up in bankruptcy. But many took to the streets and joined the forces of revolt against the system, and strikes would follow. Thus, a great army of the unemployed will follow on the streets and join the crisis of this world. Dear brethren, to avoid this, in many countries, instead of importing goods, they are utilizing their own sources and labor to produce and duplicate what they once imported. For example, the Make in India project where the Vande Bharat train was manufactured at 1/3 of the earlier cost. But whatever it is, the crisis is unavoidable. It is like a great piece of machinery lifted slowly by pulleys. If it slips, it will come down with more damaging force than before. Similarly, humanity lifted high above the level by inventions, improvement and enlightenment has reached a place of selfishness and can no longer stay there, but will soon break down, utterly breaking this society. The race between man and machinery will be a very short one. The one very disadvantageous to man. Machines in general are slaves of iron, steel and wood. Vitalized by steam, electricity, etc. They cannot only do more but a much better work than man. They have no minds to cultivate, no perverse dispositions to control, nor do they have wives, children and families to think for and provide for. They are not ambitious. They do not form unions and send delegates to interfere with the management of their business. They do not strike and they are ready to work extra hours without any serious complaints or extra pay. As slaves, therefore, machinery are far more desirable than human slaves. The workers of the world are not blind. They know what they are being led by the present system of selfishness into the great battle of Armageddon. Dear brethren, now this brings us to our last point. The proposed suggestions, is it worth? Supposing that a change of office holders or of the political parties, would this cure the existing evils? No, it will surely be in vain, because again they are bound by the spirit of selfishness and all will agree that this is a malady in the society. Some are fruitlessly seeking remedies in the world's direction, and many, alas, do not want that a remedy shall be found, not until they at least have had a chance to profit from present conditions. While we thus note public opinion in condemnation of the rich as a class, and also the Lord's condemnation and foretold penalty for this class, it is only reasonable that God's people should exercise moderation in their judgment of the rich as individuals. It is well to remember that many of the rich not only just pay heavy tax, but also help public free schools and support the government, the support of public charities, etc., but also cheerfully contribute to the relief of the poor and are heartily beloved to asylums, colleges, hospitals, home for the aged. And those who do these things out of good and honest hearts and not for show or praise of men will not lose the reward. And all such things should be justly esteemed, because until visible kingdom is established on earth, this will be a helping hand in supporting the poor. But alas, the poor rich will pass through terrible experiences. Not only will wealth prove an obstacle to future honor and glory in God's kingdom, but even here his advantages will be short-lived. Go to now, you rich man, weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you. You have heaped a treasure together for the last days. James chapter 5 verses 1, 2, 3. The weeping and howling of the rich will be heard shortly, and the knowledge of this should remove all envy, covetousness from all hearts and fill them instead with sympathy for the poor rich. A sympathy that nevertheless would not strive or desire to alter the Lord's judgment. Recognizing his wisdom and goodness, and the result of weeping and howling will be a correction of heart, an opening of eyes to justice and love, the part of all rich and poor alike, but severest upon the rich, because their change of condition will be so much greater and more violent. But why cannot these conditions be so gradually altered to bring the equalization of wealth and comfort? Because, as we have already studied and seen, the world is governed only by the law of depravity and selfishness, and not by the royal law of love. This royal law of love and this selfishness can only be removed when the world is converted. And this would be possible only in the Messiah's kingdom with divine intervention, which would require 1,000 years to establish love in full control. Hence, the time of restitution is promised by the Lord, when all will walk up the highway of holiness. No unclean shall pass over it, and all the valleys and hills shall be made plain. Dear brethren, let us earnestly desire and pray that thy kingdom come on earth visibly. Let thy will be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. May the Lord add his blessings to the understanding of his holy words. I once again thank my Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity, and the convention committee for giving me this privilege to serve his flock. I also thank the translator of Brethren for translating the Lord's words in other languages. If anyone has any questions, can WhatsApp to me on the number that is attached in the notes. God bless all till we meet again.